We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev and the new guy, Alec White. We're here at Frog and Firkin getting ready for the Arizona Wildcats home game against the Washington Huskies. And normally Ryan comes by the podcast, but we got Alec in the building.
Hope I can fill in nicely for Ryan Finley here today.
We've upgraded. No question about it.
Shade thrown at the boss man.
Glad to feel that it's an upgrade.
Yeah. Well, for those that listened to the last podcast, Alec is our new producer, digital content reporter, multimedia journalist, jack of all trades, a Swiss Army knife. Excited to have Alec be a part of the Wildcast team. Alec, once again, I know we welcomed you in the previous podcast, but thanks for coming back, man.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad they didn't, the Twitter trolls didn't burn me to the ground after seeing my name in the first podcast. So hopefully, we can continue to make this a regular trend. And,
absolutely.
First time at Frog doing this podcast. So a little bit of a different setting than we were in the dungeons of the McHale Center.
But this is probably like your 200th time at Frog and Firkin.
Yes.
Tucson is an Arizona guys. They come to Frog and Firkin pretty frequently.
Yeah, not only is Alec juggling all those jobs, he's still a student at the U of A through May?
Yes, through May.
Of next year, so how about that?
It's very impressive. God, so lucky. I didn't get a job until after college. This man gets a job in college.
Didn't you work at the IHOP, though?
I did.
Jason? I mean, that's a job.
The International House of Pancakes.
Yes.
IHOB?
IHOB. International House of Burgers. That was a lame
We're still talking
campaign.
About it. So how lame was it?
I guess you're right. I still have nightmares about making pancakes. But, guys, as much as I would like to talk about my waiter life in the past, I think a lot of people want to hear talk about Arizona Wildcats football. Guys, this is a big game coming up for the Arizona Wildcats. Now they're 4-1 on the season. They've won 4 in a row since that Hawaii loss. I guess both of you guys can chime in. I think this team looks a little bit different, if not completely different, than that loss to Hawaii, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Guys, what do you think about this matchup with Washington coming up?
Well, it wasn't the hype matchup that we thought it could have been with Washington starting the year, ranked in the top 15. Arizona wasn't expected to be ranked, but now both teams unranked. You're still going to probably get close to 48,000 fans at this game, which is a surprise to me, but it's good for, the university and the school. But I think it's a real chance for Arizona, even though Washington hasn't had the dominant success that they've been accustomed to under Chris Peterson the last couple years. It's a time for Arizona to, make a statement that, hey, they could be 3-0 in the Pac-12 South.
Well, conference play right now, Arizona is unbeaten. They're number one in the Pac-12 South. But you play Colorado, and then you play a down UCLA team. I thought the win against Colorado wasn't necessarily a statement, because we all thought that was a winnable game for Arizona. This is a winnable game for Arizona, but what would you say the percentage is for Arizona winning this game? What is that percent?
Oh, boy.
Somebody asked you that on Twitter the other day, Michael Lev.
Yeah, what did I say, 40%?
40%.
That's what I would put it at.
I think after thinking about the game more, doing some more research, reading up on Washington, I think I would up that percentage to the upper 40s, I would say. Arizona's still an underdog in this game, but to quote sort of a line used in a much more famous and successful podcast of ours, the Bill Simmons podcast, are we sure Washington
Hot Father.
Are we sure Washington is good? I'm going to throw some stats out at you, okay? This
yes?
is Pac-12 games only, okay? Three Pac-12 games that they've played. They are 11th in the league in total offense, 11th in passing offense, 10th in points per game, last in third down conversion percentage, last in rushing defense. Those are the Washington Huskies, like a team that I think like a week ago, everybody, including myself, thought this is a top 15 program, a contender to win the Pac-12. My concern, though, if I'm Arizona, is that Washington is basically coming off probably the worst loss of the Chris Peterson era. You know, maybe that's the kind of the wake-up call that they needed. You know, we saw what happened to Arizona after the Hawaii game. The term that Lorenzo Burns used the other day was, it was a reality check for us. And this Stanford loss might have been the reality check for Washington. You could kind of excuse that loss against Cal. You know, there was weird stuff happening, right? There was a delay because of lightning of what, several hours. The game didn't end until 1 a.m. Cal is a similarly built team, physical along the line. Stanford hadn't looked good against anybody, really. They were starting three true freshmen on their offensive line, struggled on both sides of the ball, and then they took it to Washington. So that's my concern. You know, this game here against Arizona was supposed to be the trap game or the look-ahead game for the Huskies, and it turned out to be last week. So now Arizona's going to get their full attention.
Now, Washington, like you said, Lev, we all thought was a team that could be in the top 10 discussion throughout the year, maybe even representing the conference in the college football playoff. That's not going to happen anymore.
Nope.
But still, you don't look at Washington and say, yeah, they might be one of the best teams in the country or in the Pac-12. They might be the best team in the Pac-12 just based on the personnel that they have. Because they have NFL talent on both sides of the ball.
They do.
Most notably their quarterback in Jacob Eason.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we say this a lot. You know, and it's sort of an indictment on Arizona's recruiting over the last several years, but you would trade rosters with Washington, like, in a heartbeat if you're Arizona, right? Like, a 1 through 85, which roster would you rather have based on recruiting rankings, height and weight, all of those things? You would take Washington's roster, wouldn't you?
Absolutely,
yeah.
So, given that, I mean, it's really disappointing. I just read this kind of roundtable that John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News put together with kind of three Washington experts about all the problems that they're having. And it seems like most of the issues are on the offensive side of the ball, even though Stanford did run the ball exceptionally well against Washington. And I mentioned the struggles that they're having in the run defense. But offensively, you know, this is not a juggernaut. As much as I like Jacob Eason and was saying a few podcasts ago that he reminded me of Carson Palmer, things have kind of gone south for him since that BYU game where he and the team were so impressive. In Pac-12 play, it just hasn't been the same thing. Even against USC, a really beaten-up USC team, they only scored 28 points in that game, and one of them came on a long run after a turnover. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. It doesn't add up. Let's put it that way.
So, we'll talk more about the Arizona-Washington game. We'll also give our predictions later on in the podcast, along with our Pac-12 pick'ems. But let's talk a little bit about Arizona and where they're at right now. I said they're 4-1. They've won four in a row since that loss to Hawaii. What have you guys seen out of the offense and how it's evolved since that Hawaii loss? Because Khalil Tate, you look at what he was able to do last week,
right?
404 yards. I never thought in his time at Arizona that Khalil Tate could throw for 404 yards at the efficient rate that he was thrown at against Colorado. That was impressive. Now we're starting to see the complete version of Khalil Tate as the quarterback. And then the running back group has been pretty impressive. Even when J.J. Taylor, who's one of the best running backs in the country, even with him being injured, Arizona still finds a way to get it done at the running back spot. I think it's been impressive what Noah Mazzone and the offense has been able to do.
When we came into the season, we knew Arizona's offense was going to produce points. We just didn't know how much, how efficient it would be, you know, and the level of efficiency it would be at. And with Khalil Tate, you just mentioned the 404 yards, and we talked about this Monday's podcast, is that It was a lot of short passes, quick passes, utilizing the speed of the wide receivers. And then every once in a while, taking that deep shot, taking the lid off the defense, because you start to bring everybody in, focusing on the short passing game. They weren't running the ball well, but they were getting those short passes, quick completions for Tate, and then every once in a while you take that deep shot to Cedric Peterson, you take that deep shot to Brian Castile, and it's really helped that offense. And you know, going back to the UCLA game with Grant Gunnell, they did the same thing, short passes, just things to get the offense in motion, be able to use the tempo, and just not stall out drives, which Arizona's had struggles with.
And the thing about that game with Grant Gunnell is he never took a deep pass. He never took a deep shot down the field. That's what makes Khalil Tate so lethal, because he's able to do that, you know, do the short passes, the quick slants, the screens, and then he can take that home run shot. But if he's in space, he's able to get it done with his feet. I think Khalil Tate, we're starting to, like I said, he's the most polished he's ever been in his time in Arizona.
And we haven't really mentioned it a whole lot. The hamstring injury that hampered him, kept him out of the UCLA game, it looked fine against Colorado. He wasn't, you know, 100% running. But remember last year when he had the ankle injury and he would just be a kind of a sitting duck in the pocket, wouldn't go outside the pocket, would just kind of short arm passes, throw off his back foot. You didn't see any of really too much of that outside of the interception against Colorado, which to me shows Tate's learning. He's understanding, okay, he's not trying to do too much. He's evolving as a quarterback.
Yeah, he'd come up limping every one of those games at some point in the game last year when he was dealing with that ankle injury. And we never saw that.
It was more than
Colorado.
An ankle injury, though. It was later discovered.
Yeah, whatever it was, he invariably would come up hobbling.
Yeah.
The thing that impresses me about the Arizona offense is they're doing it in different ways, in unexpected ways, and even from game to game, it's changing. They are last, if you, again, looking only at Pac-12 games, they are last in the league in rushing. I think they're first in the league in rushing overall in the entirety of their games, but in the Pac-12, they're under 100 yards. If I had told you that they would average under 100 yards rushing in their first two Pac-12 games, what do you think their record would be? 2-0? Definitely not 2-0. Like 1-1 at best, and yet they're 2-0 in these games, and it's showing that they can beat teams in different ways.
Like, get done in the passing game.
I used to think if you shut down Arizona's run, you're definitely going to beat them, and maybe that's not the case anymore. They had never won a game where Khalil Tate had that type of statistical profile before. That many pass attempts, that many yards, etc. Usually that means they're behind, they're playing catch-up, they're in third and long situations where they have to pass. They dictated the tempo of that game in the second half with their passing game, with Khalil Tate mainly being a pocket passer, which, like I said, it's something that we had never seen before from them.
Lev, what have you guys seen out of Arizona's defense and how that's evolved over the last few games, most notably at the linebacker and safety spot as well?
They're generating at least enough of a pass rush to affect the quarterback's timing. They're not getting to the quarterback and sacking him, but they're just doing just enough to force that extra errant pass. You know, Anthony Pandy had a couple nice, you know, was able to get around a couple blockers against Colorado, you know, get some quarterback pressures. Jalen Harris, I believe, as well, has seen some time, and he's been able to do the same thing. And it's taken a lot of the burden off of Colin Schooler, who in the past we felt has had to be the do-it-all linebacker, that if anybody in the linebacking core is going to make a big play, it's got to be Colin. And I think those other linebackers stepping up, Tony Field as well, it's taken the pressure off Colin Schooler, and he's been able to be more of a quarterback, quote-unquote, of the defense and make sure everybody's in the right position.
Yeah, I think the safety play has improved in part because the play up front has improved. They're not letting quarterbacks just sit back there and dissect the defense. You know, it is problematic in a sense that they haven't produced the sacks. You'd like to see more sacks. They are moving the quarterback off the spot. They're getting more contributions from more players than they did a year ago, which I think is huge. They have a true rotation going on at the defensive line. They're playing 8 guys. Rotating them through. Sometimes it's units of 3. Sometimes it'll be 4 guys out there, and they'll swap out, you know, the entire unit within the course of a possession. They are utilizing that third linebacker and Anthony Pandy. They're also playing those freshman cornerbacks. Christian Roland Wallace, like every week, it seems like he pops up on Pro Football Focus's list of top graded guys. And even without playing that many snaps, he's been that efficient. I mean, he has basically been, since some problems early in the year, a shutdown corner when he's been on the field. Very promising looking future for him.
And it's crazy because how old is he?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a true freshman.
Yeah, he's a true freshman.
He's barely old enough to buy cigarettes, but he looks like an NFL prospect.
I hope he's not even thinking about that, because that's obviously not good for your health, whether you're a football player or not. But he looked the part when he arrived on campus. Like, you were like, whoa. You know, this guy physically is ready to play. As Kevin, someone said earlier this week, it was the mental side where he had some growing up to do. And hey, you know what? He learned the hard way. Gave up a touchdown against Hawaii. Gave up a touchdown against NAU. Remember that play? Like, I think he thought that he or the receiver had committed pass interference. He basically stopped running and let the guy like run right by him for a touchdown. We haven't seen anything like that since. He has learned some of those lessons and become a better player. And I think we've been talking about it since Rich Rodriguez was here. You can't just have 11 guys on defense and hope that that's going to carry you. You need to have 18 to 20 guys. I don't know if they're up to that level yet, but with the rotation and the defensive line and a cornerback, they're kind of getting there.
So let's shift gears and talk some over-unders for this game.
All right.
Against Washington.
I like that.
Were you ready for this, Alec?
You guys have been talking about how you're not great with your picking records or you're interested to see. So this is my first go-around. Mm-hmm. So now it's really starting because you guys got another level of competition.
You're going to be heavily scrutinized during this segment.
We have over-unders. I'm going to give you guys some numbers for this game this Saturday, Arizona-Washington. And then you guys tell me your over-under and why, and then we'll also move into Pac-12 pick'ems. The first over-under for Saturday night at Arizona Stadium, passing yards for Khalil Tate. I'm going to set the line at 250.5 over-under.
I'm going to take the under because I think we're going to see a little bit of a market adjustment here. The running game is going to reemerge to a certain degree. It might be Khalil Tate doing some of the running. I think J.J. Taylor is going to be more involved. I do think you will see a more balanced offense. When you look at this Washington defense, the strength of it is the secondary. And they have been more vulnerable against the run, and I think Arizona is going to try to exploit that. So I'm going to take the under on Khalil's passing yards.
Okay.
I'll go over, but not by much. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a 404 day for Khalil Tate. I don't even think it's going to be a 300-yard day. Probably somewhere 260 to 280. But like Michael Lev just said, somewhat of a course correction. I think Washington's going to try to establish the line of scrimmage. They want to be more physical. And what Chris Peterson said this week is that he wants his offense to run the ball more. So in my mind, I think that's going to, if they can run the ball well, that's going to be less time of possession for Arizona. So I don't think you're going to be able to see the amount of offensive output that Arizona had against Colorado.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alec. I'm going to go ahead and take the under, but the same reason, not by much. I think what Lev just said with Washington struggling in the run game to start conference play and for Arizona lacking to run the ball in conference play, I think this could be a game where they refine themselves. They find themselves once again. They discover, hey, we're one of the top rushing teams in the conference. We can do this. I like Arizona's rushing attack. I think they find themselves again. I like Khalil Tate running the football. And I think he's going to go for 150 rushing yards.
Oh,
and he's going to
a crazy high total. Is that one of your over unders too?
And he's going to lead Arizona in rushing this Saturday.
Whoa.
You watch.
You hear that noise? That's the hot
take sizzling. So I guess I should start with Khalil Tate rushing yards over under. I'm going to set the line at 99.5.
Oh my God. I'm taking the under.
Under.
He could go over, but like the safer and smarter bet would be to take the under in that one, because first of all, we don't know if he's 100% healthy. We saw him run a little bit against Colorado. We never really saw him really let it go and try to burst downfield. It was all kind of controlled rushes toward the sideline. I think Washington's going to be very wary of that. I think your figure's way too high, dude.
150?
No, 99 is too high. I think I would take the under
the
on
one
that
thing
all day.
I will say is that he could have, that a fluke 75-yard run where he just breaks out of the pocket.
And that's my thinking. And that,
but it won't be like, you know, 100-plus yards of him getting, you know, 15 carries or, you know, 10 or 15 carries. It might be that one, you know, 70-yard run that we've seen flashes of that maybe he gets.
Mark it down. He's going to have like a 90-yard touchdown run this Saturday against Washington.
Well, it only takes one.
You're sipping the Kool-Aid today.
To come through. All right.
All right. How about points, combined points for both teams? I'm going to set the over-under at 35.5. Over-under.
Well, are you saying for both teams? For the entire game?
Yes, combined. Or, excuse me, not 35.5. 50.5.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. 50.5. That makes more sense. I'm going to go over on that one, not by a lot, and I'm going to save my score prediction for the end of the show, but I think that if it were under, that it would favor Washington for sure. I think that's the type of game that they'd like to be involved in if they could, but I'm going to take a slight over on that one.
I'll go over as well. Vegas, I don't know if we're going to get to that yet, but Vegas has it at 58.5 total over-under.
Okay.
So that's where I'm leaning, closer to that range, but somewhere probably between 50 to 58.
Yeah, I'll take the under just based on Washington and what they've done over the last couple weeks. They scored 28 points against USC. That was at home. But then they went on the road. They only scored 13 against Stanford. I think they scored more than 13 points. I'm thinking maybe closer to 20-24. What was the line at 50.5?
Yeah, over under.
You said it. You should know.
58.5 is the over under.
And 58.5 is the over under in Vegas?
Yes, yours was 50.5.
Yeah, this is why Justin isn't an odds maker.
I am going. This stick to my day job is pretty much. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
Combined points 44, and I'll tell you why during our Pac-12 pick'ems. And speaking of Pac-12 pick'ems, let's shift gears and talk some Pac-12 picks for the week. Interesting slate of games in the conference this week. First off, Friday night matchup. We all know about those Friday night matchups in the conference champions. Number 13, Oregon. Just recently scared by Cal at home last weekend. Well, they're playing Colorado at home in Eugene. Who do you guys got winning that game?
It's a big line. Right now, I'm on
huge
ESPN.
Line. Yeah.
Oregon's favored by 21, and the over-under is 59. I mean, I think Oregon's going to win, but I don't think it'll be by 21. I think it'll more be by, you know, 10 to 13.
I would agree. This Oregon team, as we mentioned on Monday's podcast, is a more defensive-oriented team. They've not displayed an explosive offense since the Nevada game, and really that's the only game in which they have shown that side. And they've held teams under 10 points, I think, four straight games. So number one scoring defense in the league thus far. Colorado is sort of hard to figure out because you don't know who's going to play for them. I mean, is Laviska Shenault going to be back?
That's the big question.
I don't know. I haven't really, you know, done a lot of research on the health of their key guys. But every game they've played this year has been close, and I think this one will be closer than that point spread would indicate. I would have guessed the point spread would be somewhere around 14, and I think that will be the difference in the game. Oregon wins, but closer than what the spread is.
I got the upset special
in
this game.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. I think Laviska Shenault plays.
Sure.
Why do you say sure?
I'm saying sure because anything can happen in this conference.
It's a Friday
it's
night
definitely
game.
Definitely possible.
It's a Friday night game. And I think Colorado right now is a better team than Cal because they have their starting quarterback. They have most of their personnel,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Montez, I think, is a lot better than Devin Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Devin Monster
yeah.
almost beat Oregon in Eugene. So I think Colorado, I'm guessing they get Laviska Shenault back. And I got Colorado pulling off the upset special Friday night.
Yeah, he did warm up for the game last week before sitting out. So he's probably pretty close.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Saturday slate. A game very close to Tucson, Arizona, about an hour and a half up the road. the Sun Devils of ASU hosting Washington State, 18th-ranked Sun Devils. Are the Sun Devils on upset alert against Washington State?
I mean, I think according to Vegas, they are.
Yeah.
On what Alex looking at on his laptop says even for the point spread. What I'm looking at on my phone says Arizona State minus one. That's not what you'd expect from a ranked Sun Devils team against a struggling Cougars team. So obviously Vegas thinks that there isn't as much of a disparity between those two schools as the AP rankings, for example, would have you suggest. It's a contrast in styles in a major way. A defensive-oriented, run-oriented, play close to the vest Arizona State team against the wide-open air raid style of Washington State. Oh boy, the Arizona State fans are already been on my case all week for not ranking them, and I guess I'm just going to double down on that and say Washington State wins this game. I know they've struggled. They changed defensive coordinators. I was kind of fading the Cougars heading into the season, but I also don't see them losing three in a row. So I'm going to take the Cougars.
This one's interesting to me because both teams are coming off a bye week, so you factor in, is there any sort of rust factor for both teams not playing for so long? Usually you're going to be fresh coming out of a bye week, but both teams, you wonder how long it takes for the offense to click in for both. And I think a 90 degree kickoff at noon or 12:30 for Arizona State might get hot in the afternoon. I think the heat may eventually wear down Washington State in the fourth quarter. I think Arizona State does win this game.
You're picking the Sun Devils because of Mother Nature.
I'm picking the Sun Devils.
On-field temperature's got to be ridiculous for an afternoon game in Tempe. I remember when USC came down to Tucson in 2015,
yeah.
I want to believe. 16, when Khalil Tate started his first game for the Wildcats. And on-field temperature
was
like 137 degrees.
They do have grass up there in Tempe.
Oh, that's
least,
a good
right?
point.
So that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
12:30 game. Crazy.
That's hot. Hot in Tempe.
What is this weird 12:30 home start business? I'm unfamiliar with this concept. But anyway.
I want to pick the Sun Devils. But Washington State, I think they're kind of on a revenge tour right now. They slipped up a little bit to start Pac-12 play, and they've had a couple hiccups throughout the season. But I'm going to go with Washington State in this game. And another thing about ASU, they're playing at home. You think, oh, you're playing at home. Oh, this team should win easily. ASU struggled at home this season. Most notably against Sacramento State.
Yeah,
they lost to Colorado.
Well, they also lost to Colorado, which sort of leads me to believe that there'll be a market correction there as well. You know that they're not going to keep losing. Probably why it's such a close game in the point spread.
But I'm going to go ahead and go with the Washington State Cougars. I think they win pretty close. Say by a field goal. It's going to be a one-possession game. It's going to be a fun one, though, nonetheless, on Pac-12 networks. All right, the next game on NBC, starting at 4:30 p.m., number 9, Notre Dame, hosting USC, a rivalry game, a game that's on the schedule every single season. And Keaton Slovis is going to start this week for the Trojans. I think that is huge. Keaton Slovis showed when he was the starter that he's kind of like the future at quarterback for the USC Trojans. I don't know what it's going to be like for him on the road against a top 10 team. And I don't know. I want to pick USC just because I want to show love for the Pac-12, but I'm using my brain here. I'm going to go with the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, me too. You just can't trust this USC team yet on the road. They haven't been a very good road team since Clay Helton's been there. There's a huge disparity in their records at home versus the road. Keaton Slovis coming back is a good thing, but he's still a true freshman playing at South Bend against a very well-balanced, solid Notre Dame team that's kind of good at everything, played really well and competitively in its lone loss at Georgia, which I think everyone believes is a top 5 program. So I'm going to go with the Fighting Irish as well.
Real quick, Lev, most notable USC Notre Dame game you attended when you covered the Trojans?
Oh, let's see. Wow. Alec, you go. Let me think about that.
All right. Well, I will also take the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Spread's 10.5. I think Notre Dame's going to win by
more.
14 or so. This is just, to me, a Brian Kelly game where you They lost to Georgia a couple weeks ago. Everybody kind of forgot about Notre Dame. Now this is the rivalry game against USC. They'll go out. They'll make a statement game, if you want to call it that, and just, you know, put Notre Dame back in people's minds.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to pull a memory from one of those games, and I can't even remember what year it was. It was probably, probably 2014. Will Fuller toasted Adoree Jackson on a long touchdown for Notre Dame against USC, and that was an eye-opener to me as to how fast Will Fuller had to be, because nobody did that to Adoree Jackson when he was at SC. You know, first cornerback from SC to be drafted in the first round in a really, really long time, a really solid NFL player. But it showed me that, like Alex said earlier, how Will Fuller could take the lid off a defense in a way. And he just had, 14 catches for 200-something yards for the Texans this past
year. Made a lot of fantasy football owners happy.
That was, that's the memory I will pull from my USC Notre Dame days.
All right, moving on to another Pac-12 Networks game. Number 15, Utah facing Oregon State in Corvallis. Look at Oregon State getting their first road win in I don't know how many years in the conference last week against UCLA.
We probably should have looked this up since Monday.
I know. I feel like I said the exact same thing. But regardless, it's been a long time since Oregon State won a game on the road in the conference. They did it last week against UCLA. Now they're facing number 15, Utah. Are the Utes on upset alert in Corvallis?
Well, I mean, of course they are, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
I think Utah is a veteran team. They're not going to get caught off guard in any shape or form because of what happened with Oregon State last week. They're going to be ready for this game. I think, from what I'm reading, Zach Moss might be back for them. Tyler Huntley's coming off maybe the best game of his career. When they have those two guys healthy, combined with how physical they are up front, how solid their defense is, I like this Utah team. And I think 13.5 feels like a lot, but I think they're certainly capable of covering it. I would probably take the Utes to win, something like 30-13.
I'll take the Utes as well. Probably a pretty similar score. They're favored by 14.5. I just think this is a game Utah won't overlook based on last week against UCLA. Right now, the Pac-12 is really resting its laurels on Utah to pull through and stay ranked, because Utah and Oregon right now are the top two ranked at 13 and 15.
Yeah.
Utah is 15, Oregon 13. So for the conference, you really need Utah to keep winning. You can't lose this game at Oregon State.
That's a great point.
But if you lose to Oregon State on Pac-12 networks, did anybody really see it? Because East Coast, they're not really keeping an eye on the Pac-12.
That would be, and if your Oregon upset happens Friday night, which who knows, then every team in the league would have at least two losses. Except,
that's crazy.
Except for the Arizona Wildcats. What?
Real quick though, Alec, you mentioned my hot takes earlier in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I met my hot take quota for the podcast, so I don't have any more hot takes left to me. I got the Utah Utes winning 38-14.
All right.
ASU has only one loss also, but we both, the two of the three of us, thought that they might be upset this week.
Absolutely. So the game that everyone wants to hear about, Washington, Arizona, at Arizona Stadium. Kickoff is set for Lev's favorite time, 8 p.m., and that game will be on FS1 as Lev shakes his head. This game is very interesting, guys. We talked about it. We talked about Khalil Tate, Jacob Eason, that being the quarterback matchup, the defenses. It's just an interesting game. And a part of me thinks that Arizona, with all this momentum that they have, they're going to come out and they're going to show the rest of the conference, we're not messing around in year two under Kevin Sumlin. And a part of me wants to think that Arizona is going to come out and actually beat Washington. But then I look at Washington and how they were able to bounce back from that loss early this season to Cal, going out to BYU on the road in a pretty hostile environment in an afternoon game. I mean, that game, I think it was a sellout. I don't know if it's going to be a sellout at Arizona Stadium, but the environment is still going to be pretty electric. And with that being said, I think Washington comes out and beats Arizona. I think Arizona, they're going to show flashes of why they can compete with every single team in the conference. I think Khalil Tate is going to do what Khalil Tate does. But I just think that this is one of those games where Arizona doesn't really have enough gas in the tank, which is interesting because what's been the story over the last few weeks? Arizona and their ability to perform in the fourth quarter. I think Washington has a little bit more juice, and we'll see that this Saturday.
Man, this is tough because I feel like a lot of the intangible factors favor the Wildcats. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. They're coming in really confident. I think I think it was Kevin Sumlin who said this week that they trust one another, and that's another factor I think that's really helped them in the fourth quarter of these games. Also, you go back to 2016, the last time they faced Washington, the Huskies were number 9 in the country at that time, and Arizona took them to overtime. And if you look at the roster, the lineup that Arizona put on the field for that game, this is a better team. I don't think there's any disputing. Much better personnel on defense, much better quarterback, with all due respect to Brandon Dawkins, who had a really good game that particular night. All that being said, I just can't pull the trigger on Arizona winning. I've got Washington 27, Arizona 26. I just have a hard time seeing this Washington team losing 2 and potentially 3 in a row with Oregon coming up last week, based on the personnel that they have, the coaching staff that they have, and all of those types of things.
My final score, I think, is 24-20. That's why when I set the over-under at 50.5, 44 points. That's why I took the under that game. I got Washington winning 24-20. What's your score, Alec?
Well, I'm gonna side with you guys. I believe Washington will win. I know. I couldn't force myself to go the other way. But I'll tell you what. I think Washington is just gonna come in. I think they're going to win the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to run the ball a lot better than Arizona's going to be able to. They're going to play keep away from Khalil Tate. And I think if Khalil Tate's not 100% healthy, I think that Washington's defensive line is going to be able to force Khalil Tate off the spot of where he wants to throw. And if he's not able to move around in the pocket as much as he wants, I think it's going to affect Arizona's ability to throw the ball, especially downfield. So I'm going to go. I still think Arizona's going to have success. And like you said, they're going to have those flashes. But Washington's just going to be a step better.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to go Washington 29, Arizona 23.
Good score. So all of our scores in the 20s,
really,
right?
Yeah, and all really close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to pick Arizona to win this game, I think I'd boost my total score up, because that's the type of game they need it to be. They don't want the keep away game. They want the track meet type of game. And so it's sort of the battle of tempos.
It's going to be a fun game this Saturday at Arizona Stadium. Washington coming down to Tucson. They're taking on the Arizona Wildcats. Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. And you can watch that game on FS1. Or if you want to follow along, follow that guy, Michael Lev, on Twitter, at Michael J. Lev. Alec, what's your Twitter handle?
At AlecWhite_UA.
Okay. Follow the man on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Justin Esports. And make sure you follow the Wildcaster on Twitter. Follow the Wildcaster on Facebook and Instagram. Download the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. And also, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Lev, for Alec, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. And a huge shout-out to Frog and Firkin, as always.
We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell, or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.